All right, got that done. Just finishing dinner. I want to get my tea. God, it's been a busy day.
it?
Yeah, one phone call after another.
Oh boy. Glad I got
Commission
this
stuff, Bob stuff, Oceana Dune stuff. Hello.
Hi, Lori's here.
Hi,
Hello.
Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hello.
After a whole day, my voice is still a little scratchy, so morning sounds a
No.
whole lot better, or if 10 people hadn't called me.
Oh my
10,
gosh.
15. Well, we also had the NorCal Land Rover group call, and they had some interesting information. So,
Well, we haven't heard from
wanna.
them in a while.
No, we haven't heard from them for a while. You're right. So, they're going to do another event, but also one of their people works with the Republican conference or whatever in the legislature.
Ooh.
Is that Bruce Brazil?
That's me.
Okay, just checking.
Hi, Bruce.
Good evening.
I thought I heard a couple other dings there, Amy.
Yep, Stephen Howard, or should we call you Scooter? Is that it?
That'll work.
Okay, and Bob Hamm.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
And Ed Stoven. Ed, did you get back to that woman about that event who sent the
Yeah, I
email
did.
today?
We're off that.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, who's that?
Ken.
Hello.
Yeah, I went to the Ultra Four races on Sunday and it Saturday, and it had rained that morning just before I got there, and the place was packed. I had to drive all the way to the back, down the hill, up the hill, down the hill, across the creek, up the hill to the parking with about 4 inches of mud on the road in my Mini Cooper. And I'm driving through all this and I'm going, oh boy, I'm going to get stuck. And finally, we got to the last steepest hill, and this four-door JK in front of me all suddenly loses traction and stops.
Wow.
He puts it in four-wheel drive, has a heck of a time getting going. I'm sitting back there, I'm going, oh, you just screwed me.
Oh my God.
I put my foot about halfway down. That Mini Cooper went into traction control and crawled right up the hill. I was amazed. Trucks and Jeeps, and they're slipping and sliding all over the place. That
Serves them
was
right.
fun. Holy fries. I got to rethink my Jeep.
Well, Suzuki Samurais were always very, very capable.
Oh yeah, those things are so light they can go anywhere.
So we
My son
have
has
one,
this is
two.
Vinny. This is Vinny. My son
Yep.
has one of those. We built it up before he
A
had it.
Suzuki?
Cool. For a Suzuki Samurai, yeah.
They can
I
go anywhere, I'll tell you. You have to be
we
able to
live.
fit in it.
Yeah.
So one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. We have 10 board members on.
Ooh.
Jim and Roberta just joined, and Terry Work and Diana joined before.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
So I got 7:02. We want to give it a minute or two?
Sure.
I just got a message from Charlie. He says he's going to be on the meeting, but he might be a little late. So.
Okay. And Bruce called me a little while ago. He was coming back from the field. Bruce, the Witcher. So.
Okay.
And here's Mike. And so we have 11 people. We do have a quorum, so we could start.
All righty. My agenda up here. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the call. Thank you for being here. We'll start off with the roll call. And I am here. Diana Mead, you're
here.
Bruce, with us yet? Roberta, good evening.
Here.
Chris Brazil.
Here.
Good evening. Lori Lewis. And then I heard your wonderful voice.
Here, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Jim Woods, good evening. Sir.
Say here.
Here.
Okay. Ed Stoven, good evening.
I'm here.
Jimmy Barbarino.
I'm here.
Good evening, Jay. Bob Ham.
Here.
Amy.
Here.
Charlie is not with us yet. Wayne Ford?
Not yet.
Pardon? Not yet, Wayne Ford? Okay, Mike Moore?
I'm here.
You're there. Okay, and we have guests on the line. I'd like to welcome you. Can you introduce yourself?
Steve Howard.
Okay.
Mark Fogarth.
Good evening and welcome. Thank you for coming on the call. Do we have anybody else?
Terry Work.
Hey, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
And in case you didn't get it, Bruce Witcher just joined the call.
Okay. Mark, Bruce is here. We probably want to hear from Bruce a little bit today. Okay, has everybody reviewed the agenda, and does anybody want to make any changes? I know I want to make one change. I want to remove the members' reports and requests down to after the legislative report, in between legislative and financial reports. That way we get the majority of the information out to the members, and then they can have bring up any subjects that they may have. Does anybody else have any other requests to change the agenda? I'll take that as a no. Good evening. We just had somebody else come on.
Ed Waldheim.
Ed, how you doing? Good to hear from you. We're just moving right along here. Did everybody get to read the minutes and review them from last meeting? And does anybody want to make any changes or make a motion to approve them?
I'll move it,
Bruce. I'll approve them.
Did you get to the names, Roberta?
It was Jim and Bruce. Which will one of you be the second?
I second. Diana.
Okay, so we got a second from Diana. Okay. Any discussion? Okay, let's... all those in favor of accepting the minutes, say aye.
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 All those opposed? And abstained. Okay, we've accepted our minutes. Good evening.
Hello, good evening. It's Joe Paez with the ADV Moto Trail Crew and Death Valley Noobs Rally.
Ah, okay.
Yeah?
Oh. Okay.
Hello?
we're
Hi, Joe. You're good.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome. Yeah. Glad to have you.
Yeah, I missed last month, so I said, even though I'm busy tonight, I said, I'll catch up with a lot of things and report back on things that we are planning to do. Yeah.
We appreciate you spreading the word. Okay.
Yeah, so.
So my report's up next. I mailed it out with some highlights. Diana Mead called me at 11:30 and told me there was a meeting with the local dump at Land Use Council or committee. Concerning their support letter on SB 767, and I dressed up nicely, rushed right out there. The only other people there representing OHV Recreation was a Miles, I don't remember his last name, and his father, and they are ranchers that are local neighbors of Carnegie SVRA.
Oh.
And we sat there and listened to them. I found it really kind of strange. I've been to several public meetings. I've never been to a public meeting where lunch was provided for everybody. I found that unusual. There was no roll call or introduction of anybody. Found that kind of strange, too. We also didn't understand how they notified the public. The county puts all of their meetings from all the different planning divisions on a website, and you have to go to that website in order to know what meetings are when. So we now understand that, so we'll make it to a couple more meetings. I thought it was very interesting that their consultant that was talking about the map that one of the universities, I don't remember which one, was doing for him, and he talked about cost recovery. And he literally said their cost recovery is expected. If we talk to them real nice, they can waive it or lower. And I was kind of like, well, wait a minute. How do you do that? We don't get to do that. So that was it.
I'm just going to interrupt to say that board member Charlie Lowe just joined the call.
Oh, hi, Charlie.
Yeah. Hey, hello. Finally made it.
Good. Mm-hmm. Glad you made it.
Mm-hmm.
So then it moved on to their support letter. I did just a few minutes ago send a copy of that to everybody. They are sending that board member. The interesting support letter, the second page lists everybody they're sending it to, and they're sending it to everybody in the area. And they think this is perfectly okay. to continue to harass the OHV community with this bill. And I did put in my letter that I flat out told them that the community felt that they were continuing to harass us, and we felt it was a hate crime, and that there's groups of powerful people with money in the Bay Area that are looking into taking legal actions on them. It was interesting that the representative from the city of Livermore, when I said hate crime, had to stop and ask me what I said. But their jaws all dropped. But I did have an interesting conversation with some of them. Wow, what an arrogant group. But anyway, the first hearing is going to be on the, is it the 9th or the 6th, Amy?
It's the 9th.
It's the 9th.
It's the 9th. And that's going to be the Natural Resource Committee. We could talk a little bit more about that during the legislative report. Went out to hill climbs with Diana on Sunday. That was a great time. I did talk to our sponsors, several of our business sponsors up at Prairie City at the Ultra 4 races. I talked to Tony from Jen Wright, Dan from Rough Stuff Specialties, and the people from PCI Radio, and I thanked them all for their support. I told them how much I appreciate it. So they were all happy about the things we do. They like us, which is great. It was a good time. Hill climbs were great. I think Logan did quite well. Logan Mead took a couple first place again. It was amazing. It rained Saturday, and the traction was fantastic on Sunday. Anyway, and then we've got the annual meeting coming up next month. We have decided to have that at the Best Western on Saturday in California City. This way we will not interfere with the generation of funds at the Jawbone Station. And we'd like to invite everybody that attends Moose Anderson Days to come over to the hotel and join us for the meeting after the cleanup and the lunch is done. We thought that would be best. And we're going to bring lunch in from Gloria's Mexican Restaurant. We'll have to probably run out and get it, but good food close by. That's about all I have. Does anybody else have any questions of me?
Yeah, this Ed Waldheim. I'm sorry you guys decided to go to a hotel instead of being at a Jawbone. I think you guys interpreted something that Bob had mentioned about losing money. It was not of his prerogative to make such a statement, and I'm sorry that you guys made a decision based on that. I love having you guys there. The BLN loves having you there. It leads to OHV opportunity, OHV involvement, which is something Corva definitely desperately needs. And that gave us the opportunity. I am not moving the venue away from back inside the conference room, so the conference room will be empty because you're not going to be there. I will keep it into the warehouse because that I'm out of the wind. I have more room, and it worked perfect for us last year, and so I'm going to keep it right there. So the invitation is open for you to come back next year. And there's not going to be any interference. The room is open. The BLM is welcomes you there. And that way we can get a lot more OHV people involved. When they see Corva in there, the fallout is a lot, tremendous. Being at a hotel, you're isolating yourself. You're not part of the OHV recreation when you're in there because nobody knows you're out there. Anybody, do you think there's nobody really going to be coming from Jawbone to go to your meeting because they're going to probably go recreate and go out and ride their vehicles. That's what they're going to do. That's what they almost do after a cleanup. So I'm sorry that you guys made that decision without even checking. It's you can try see what happens, But the invitation for next year is there again, that you can have the room. You don't have to participate in a lunch if you don't want to, but when you do participate in a lunch, it gives you an incredible opportunity to mix with all the people who come out there and recreate. So that's my 5 cents for this year.
You're correct, Ed. The lunch is a good time to recreate with mix with all the recreationalists out there. It's a shame that we misunderstood that.
I, for one, am happy that you did misunderstand it because of the change. I'm going to be able to go this year, so that's nice.
Okay, well, we've made the decision, and that's what we're going to do. And I appreciate your, your invitation for next year, and Ed. Okay.
Hey, Ken.
Let's move on. Yes.
Okay, this is Bruce Brazil. I got a question at the meeting with the Altamont landfill. Were any other properties mentioned that they might want to invest in?
No. They were developing a map of prospective areas in eastern Alameda County. So it seems like this is the only area they're interested in. They don't have a lot of information on their website, and we haven't been attending these meetings, so we don't know what they've been up to. I'm going to, as long as I'm off work, I'm going to continue these meetings. They're at a very inopportune time. They're at 12:30 to 2:30 every other Friday.
Every other Friday? Not monthly?
No. Every other month.
Okay.
Every other month. And it's on that website that I sent you a link to.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Well, I like the idea that Ed just said that next year, let's just do it back in the conference room of the Jawbone Ranger Station.
All right, thank you. Okay. Let's move on to legislative reports and start with Amy. You've been very busy, and I understand today you've got even busier.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, and my voice still isn't back to normal yet. Sorry about that. There was a meeting last week in El Dorado working on the Pacific Crest Trail Association is everywhere. They are being intractable. They are demanding closures. The idea at 7,000 or 8,000 feet that somehow a snowmobiler can figure out what an eighth of a mile crossing is in the middle of snow dunes with no signs, no trees, no anything. Just to cross the Pacific Trail, and they're still demanding a half a mile buffer zone on either side. It's a funny thing. First of all, there's no way it can happen, and snowmobilers aren't going to stop and figure out where the Pacific Crest Trail is. So even if they get a victory on paper, it's not going to be a victory in reality, because there's no way to enforce it. There's no way to make sure it happens. And it would create a lot of extra work for the Forest Service. So the Forest Service is kind of between a rock and a hard place. We did really well at the meeting, and the snowmobilers were awesome. They just were very well prepared. They presented scientific arguments. They really had one up on the environmentalists. And the deputy regional forester was there. We talked about a number of things. We have a complaint going against an employee who's part of Friends of Plumas Wilderness on the Plumas Plan. We have a complaint against the forest supervisor and on the Tahoe for that. The Stanislaus plan came out, and actually we got a great result from them. We had spent a lot of time on that, and their final environmental impact statement came out, and almost everything we wanted we got, which was sort of unbelievable. There are issues there that relate, you know, the snow depths and crossings of the PCT relate to over dirt just as much as everywhere. Because the forest plan revisions are coming up. If any of these things are successful in limiting motorized recreation, they will use it in forest plan revisions for over dirt. So it's really important we push these down. We've also been working with Congressman LaMalfa's office, and they just did a great op-ed in the Plumas newspaper. I've got a meeting with the Plumas supervisor, who is an acting supervisor. I actually know the guy really well. He used to be in Sacramento, on Thursday to talk with him about our complaint. And then we have the issues with Oceana Dunes, with the commission, and, of course, with Carnegie, which are all really, really tough issues to work with. And then none of them are going away, so we need to develop at our annual meeting, we need to develop some plans for these on how we react and how we are going to find solutions or help find solutions for these serious problems. One of the, a group from, not from California, started to agree with the Pacific Crest Trail Association that half-mile buffers on either side of the trail were okay. We responded, absolutely not. And when PCTA came back and said, well, they were okay with it, I said that CORVA was responsible for overseeing all the OHV and OSV opportunities in California. We're based in California. Our members are in California. We speak for California, and we say absolutely not. There's no reason for us to give away land, to give away access, to give away roads. There's just no reason to do that. Our petition against the Forest Service or travel management rule is moving forward, but we also got another request from Texas Public Policy Group about sort of, I guess we would be consultants, or they want to file another lawsuit against the Forest Service, but not in the Ninth District Court. So we identified a forest that is still undergoing the Subpart C travel management. They haven't started scoping yet in Wyoming. And along with the attorneys help write their comments in a way so that, just like we did with the Plumas, it would, all the issues that would be included in a lawsuit would be there. Their goal is to create a conundrum, sort of an opposite opinion to the Ninth District Court, and have it heard by the Supreme Court. And they called and asked for a conference call with Corky Lazzarino and I, and they said, you're the ones who know the most about it, so we need you to sort of help us do this, help us write the comments, and lead it, even though it will come out of Wyoming. And it will center on over snow, because the travel management rule, it doesn't really matter. The travel management rule has three parts, A, B, and C. Over snow is C, but a ruling on it would apply, since all the same rules apply to subpart C as apply to over dirt or subpart A, B, sorry. It would be the same. I was pretty stoked. I don't know what the board feels about it, but being considered sort of the people with the most knowledge about the travel management rule and how to write comments, pretty cool. So I've been trying to tell Bruce this for about 3 or 4 days, but he's been out in the field. So does that Amy, sound
Do you need yep. the board to give you approval to get into this? Because if that's the case, I would move that we empower Amy to engage on behalf of Corva in this action.
I wanted to put it before the board and said, how do you feel about it?
Well, I made my motion.
Is there a second?
I will second.
I'll second it.
Okay, discussion? Anybody have any questions?
I mean,
I have a whole bunch of questions.
I think
but I don't know yet.
Can emanate, let's just briefly run through what the negatives might be. Is there a way that this could impact us negatively, and can we handle that? Off my top of my head, I can't think of anything, but it seems to me that this is exactly the kind of thing we've been prepping for.
Yeah, there's no – all we'll get is the same as with our original lawsuit against the Plumas. If anything changes, we get the existing management, which we already know what it is on the ground. So nothing is going to be nothing would be changed. It doesn't cost us any money. It will cost us money in terms of time. But I think it would be an effort that our members would support, because especially the snowmobile members would be ecstatic about it. And they're really looking for someone. So far, they've been really, really pleased with what we've done with Corva. And they've given us, quite a few donations because of it. And so I think this will show even more leadership and lead to more membership and prove that we're out there. And it would be a national effort. So we'd be showing a lot of leadership.
I feel this, it's an excellent strategy. If we get a favorable decision in Wyoming, then there's a conflict in between the two courts, and it forces it to the Supreme Court. I love the strategy to it. Well, if there's no more discussion, we'll take a vote.
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? All those abstained? So it passes.
Thanks, guys. We don't know exactly how it's going to work, so we're waiting for more instructions from the attorneys, but this will also bolster our administrative petition. So the government has, a year to respond to our administrative petition. So we're still waiting to hear from them, but we're going to put some pressure. And there's some Utah counties who did exactly the same as we did, which is great, because it means that they will now have to deal with these issues with travel management. And the article in the Plumas News was a letter that LaMalfa also submitted in Congress to the Natural Resources. It doesn't mention us particularly, it doesn't mention anything, but his aides have been, especially Shane Starr, have been great to work with, really, really helpful. And we need the help. So we've got some big issues that we can have an update. We'll have an update from the April 9th meeting at the annual meeting and be able to discuss more strategy and be able to talk about what's going on at Oceana Dunes. So I look forward to that discussion. Any questions?
Okay. Bob, do you have anything for us on bills?
Well, yeah, we mentioned briefly that SB 767 will be heard on April 9th. I hope Amy's going to be able to give testimony on behalf of Corva. She absolutely hit home runs last year in the same committee on this issue, even though we didn't win the that particular battle. It was good. In the same committee at the same day, and I think we probably ought to also be supportive of, is the Inyo County bill that would extend their ability to have longer dual-use highway designations in Inyo County on a test basis. And ultimately, if they finally prove it successful, it might allow for this to be a precedent for other counties where there might be other areas where the three-mile maximum may be too short to connect a trail or to get from a trailhead to a campground or something like that. So Inyo County is so rural that they're saying that the 3 mile is an impediment in a lot of the areas where they'd like to do that. So they got the bill 5 years ago. It was a 5-year test. It took them quite a while to actually get some of the areas designated and started. So they're asking basically to extend that 5-year period. And I think just for the sake of a county that's trying to do something pro-OHV, and especially since Corv is going to be in the room that day anyhow, it would behoove us to support their bill publicly as well. And then there's a few other bills that we're keeping an eye on, but nothing right now that is critical. We can't wait until the annual meeting to talk about in more depth. Any questions?
Yeah, Bob, this is Bruce. I've heard a lot of times that by the time a bill gets to the committee, the decision is more or less made. And so, it seems like a lot of times it really is the committee chair that has a lot of sway here. I mean, do we have any read on, this bill passed last year. I don't know why it wouldn't pass this year. That doesn't mean it's going to go through, but I would just say because the bill gets out of committee, that isn't a reason for people to be discouraged.
No, the Democrats have a super majority. Glazier is very effective at rounding people up. He's got as co-authors this time most of the senators from the Bay Area. Basically on as co-authors. It's going to sail through the Senate. Whether we can stop it in the Assembly or not, we do have a strategy in place, but it's we need to get it implemented. As you recall, a couple of months ago, we voted Assembly member Lorena Gonzalez Fletcher is the off-road legislator of the year, and we developed a plaque for her. We just need to get that delivered. Ed has it down there, and we probably just have to take a couple of people from San Diego and go over to her office with the assistance of Commissioner Tom Lemon, who knows her well, and have him set it up so that we can give that to her. We essentially want to pump her up so that Tom is able to go back and do what he did last time, and that's to just convince her this is a big deal. When the bill gets to Assembly Appropriations, it's a big black hole, and the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, which is Ms. Fletcher, has most of the power in that room, so she can kill it again. And you know, we need to show her that we noticed that she was helpful last year, and we need to get that done so that we can you know, we can kind of keep her in the fold. That answer what you read, Bruce?
Oh, yeah, just FYI, I had an interesting experience last year when we had a key bill that I had spent a lot of time on that was also a Glazer bill. It was also put on suspense by Lorena Fletcher Gonzalez, and she let it off suspense because there was a deal between all the committee chairs that it should move. It was sort of a three-way deal, but it was extremely interesting because it involved the same two players. So all bets are off. And the other question is, you know, where is the administration on this? I don't know
well,
if we can.
We have heard, and I hope, I really do hope, that Parks doesn't get it as a public kind of thing yet. Parks is asking the governor for an opposed position, and I guess it's been preliminarily agreed to by the governor's office, but they haven't actually made it public. And as long as Parks and the governor agree that it's an inappropriate bill, and we've got the chance for a veto if it gets past Gonzalez Fletcher. So that's our second hat that we can pull a rabbit out of. The problem I see with it becoming public too soon is that the administration may be easily lobbied. We don't know these people yet, and the longer it's kind of in limbo there, where the department is pushing the administration and letting them know this is a bad bill, this is a bad bill, and this powerful group that's pushing the bill doesn't realize they're in trouble with the governor, and they don't begin to put on the extra heavy degree of pressure that it's going to take, we're in better shape. So I kind of hope the governor or the department continues to press for it, but they're doing it behind the scenes and not being public about their officially endorsed opposition.
Yeah, as I recall, they came out with that kind of quietly and fairly late, and that gives the approach chairs cover too if they're opposed to it. So
yeah,
I think you're right on.
the difficulty with this one is, you know, the last time it went through, that governor was a known quantity, and quite frankly, I would expect him to be supportive of the Parks position. He never was particularly bad with us. He made us some good appointments. He's done some other things along the way that didn't hurt us. And he kind of is a believer that you don't get rid of things that you went and bought for land preservation and give it to some other agency to preserve the land. So I think we had a better case with him. We just don't know what this new guy is like, but most of us have some ideas that we're not too excited about. So I believe he would be an easier person to sway the wrong way by those powerful forces in the East Bay than would have the previous governor. So the longer they don't know that we may have a second rabbit in the hiding in the second hat there, the better off we are.
Good to know. And yeah, I've learned over the past couple of years that nothing happens on these bills till about August or so. Amy?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I was going to ask Diana and you if the bill was a topic of conversation at Carnegie on Sunday.
Not unless I brought it up, and I did bring it up. But We had a problem on Sunday this weekend because the area where the hill climbs are was supposed to have been designated, and on the general plan it clearly is, but it's still part of the original park, as a special event area. Yet we were forced to comply with the rainfall regulations of the remainder of the park because of the ongoing litigation. So there was no racing on Saturday. We actually had to postpone it and double up on Sunday, which was a pretty incredible feat. They pulled it off. But we lost out on any qualifying. And when you're talking about a national event, that's really not the best for the TV coverage and things like that that we had there. But that brought up the conversation when a lot of people were pretty angry with the state. So it got back to the, look, let's talk about this. This isn't the state per se. These are the regulations. It was an opportunity to talk about it, but no, very few people are aware of what's going on right now.
I was just curious. You know, we should make him aware and definitely. But Ken's right. It's later in the season, and we have had discussions with parks, and we do know that internally they're not supportive, but you know, we need to play this one carefully. Bob's right, as always.
And they did take all the things that were extremely objectionable out of there. There's the selling it at less than market value, and there was another section I saw they took out. Was it the finding another location for us? They're not going to do this under this bill. Okay. Any other questions, or do you have anything more, Bob?
No, that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bruce, do you have anything to update us on?
Not specifically. In federal legislation, the omnibus bill is the big topic. State legislation, really this bill. There's a bunch of regulatory stuff going on with the Forest Service, with the forest plans, basically Sierra and Sequoia. But nothing new has come out on those. They're expected any time. Oceano Dunes is hot right now. I think we'll see some stuff coming up on that. I mean, there were new postings fairly recently because the scientific advisory group came out with a response to the particulate reduction management plan, the PRMP as they call it. Gary Willey prematurely sent out a letter about that, kind of dissing the report, saying it was inadequate, kind of calling state parks on the carpet. And then he kind of went, oops, we didn't ask the SAG about it, so now we got to ask them. And they basically said, yeah, we don't like it either. And I guess there's going to be a public workshop, and they got to come out with something 30 days prior to that, which the date is May 1. So stay tuned. And I could go on and on about it, although my knowledge of this whole issue is extremely superficial. So I'll sign off with that.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Lots of legislation going on. We'll be working hard this year. To our guests that are there, do you have any questions or areas of concern or any comments or any direction you think that Corbett should be going in? Terry? Joe?
I'm good, yeah.
You're good? Okay.
I'm pretty much, my biggest concern is the Angeles National Forest, but having Ed here aboard, yeah, he's pretty much on top of it. So I'm just kind of, standing in the shadow of Ed.
Okay. Good place to be.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So.
No, and I was at that, just Terry, I was at that meeting a few weeks ago and saw Bob and Bruce and Ed. So anything I was concerned with, I basically mentioned them and others.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, again, this Joel. One thing I'd like to add also is we are having a big event this coming weekend over in Death Valley, actually at Panamint Springs. There's already like 250 people signed up. These are mostly dual sport and adventure riders, legal, yeah, street legal bikes. And so far, you know, a lot of things going on, and what driving me nuts is ever since I got involved in the raffle fun racing, that's just as hard as organizing the event. There are two parts of the event. One is just the camping part. We all eat, ride, you know, and, you know, stay in camp. And the riding is just, you know, it's just something we do during the day. Then the other biggest part is the fundraising part, which makes the event exciting because there we have a lot of attractive, high-value items that we raffle to all the participants. Basically, they just buy raffle tickets and they buy a lot of tickets. We raised quite a amount of money, and all that money is donated to charity. And one thing I've been doing in the past, I just split all the money collected, that's 100% donated, I split it among different groups, you know, Corvas, Sequoias, Sierras, Blue Ribbon, and a few other. But I'm also working for the Angeles National Forest for the... So my feeling is, yeah, I think it's time that we put more, a little bit more support to the Angeles National Forest, and then whatever left, we'll just divide it among the other groups, which includes, of course, Corva. And, yeah, so it won't be as significant as in the past, but this is not just the event that we raise funds. We also raised on some just local rides. For instance, last month, we rode to the Husky Monument, and since I already have like 30 people out there, I said, let's collect money for Corva. And we did, and I think I already sent that to Corva also, a couple of $100, not much, but if everyone do their share, you know, it'll be substantial. So back again on the rally that we're having. This is basically a lot of work for me, and I'm thankful we have a lot of volunteers that are helping me out too, and the sponsors are all great. You know, they again step up and donated high-value items. So hopefully this thing will be the best raffle event, and the fundraising will break the record, so hopefully... So that's the plan I'm doing now, and of course, every opportunity to help Corva, I'll do the same thing, yeah. Put Corva after Angeles National Forest.
So, well, thank you very much, Joe. We appreciate that. And you know, it's a good thing to spread the money around. You know, we everybody's doing something, but, you know, we want all of your money.
One thing that's really... makes me do this is, you know, if we just go riding, we have fun, you know, we all go home, that's fine, but to see 250 people attending the event, I think this is a great opportunity to make them aware we have land issues, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I said, I'm not going to pass up this opportunity, you know, let's get them realize that there are organizations that are working for us, And, you know, we're all in the same boat, the same cause, so we need to support them too, you know. So it's just something that makes me do it because of the opportunity. Not too many times people will listen to you or, you know, you will have an audience in front of you. So this is a good time to do it, you know, 250 people, yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great event.
Yeah, and also before there's someone active also on our website. His alias is so-called Dueler. I wonder if he's here. I invited him to show up at the event and do a little speech, you know. But if any of you other than who is available this weekend, this Saturday, you know. We'll have food, we'll have entertainment, and of course, you know, do a little speech, you know.
If anybody's in the area and you can make it by there, please do.
Dead Valley, Springs.
A long way from me. Okay, thank you very much, Joe.
You're welcome.
Let's get moving on here. So the next item would be Mike Morris' Treasury Report. You sent out a report. It looks like we're doing okay. We have to get our taxes done.
Taxes are due, yeah. I basically just tried to recap a few highlights from the financials from last year. Our general donations were down last year about $7,900 over the prior year. Restricted donations were up about 1,000. I tried to tie that back to the balance sheet for you just to try to give you a question of why the liabilities increased this year. Last year, if you'll recall, we had a fair number of legal expenses, about $25,600 worth. Of that, $13,700 was funded from our liability, our reserve account, for the items that were strictly earmarked for legal. So that means about $12,000 of the legal expenses came out of our general fund. This year, we kind of reversed the trend. Legal expenses were way down. The donations were up, so the balance sheet's improving. We got about $15,600 again in our reserve account. Last year we started with $18,000 before all the legal expenses. This year we started with about $4,800. So we ended the year with $15,000 in the legal fund. We still have most of that, $5,000 of it was from the IE4W match. I believe we took in about $6,000 or $6,500 from that. And we still have the $5,000 donation from IE4W. So that'll increase the legal fund by another $5,000, get us back up to over where we were starting in 2018. So I think we're in pretty good shape there as far as the legal reserves. I also tried to recap the merchandise. Since this was the first year we switched over to Steve is sending out our merchandise and billing us for the, not time or anything, but he's billing us for the postage and boxes and shipping materials. So I figured I'd break it down so we could just kind of see what our net income was. Last year we took in $4,000. This year we took in about $8,100 profit-wise. We sold more, so we reduced the cost of goods, the inventory we had. The store expenses were up, but not that significantly compared to what we sold. So I think we're in pretty good shape there. I did not break shipping out there. As you'll recall, we charge everybody $2 for shipping. We're kind of losing money there, but overall, we're still making a profit. So if we want to, we can look at that at the annual meeting. But I think we're still in pretty good shape. And then membership, I kind of did a recap on that, and I broke it down this year just by numbers and then dollars, because it's just a 25% increase about a quarter, third of the way into the year. It's kind of hard to tell monetarily whether we were doing good or bad. But if you look at it overall, membership number-wise went up about 10%. And then, of course, because of the increase, we took in about 38% more money. So anyway, those are kind of the type of things I thought you might be interested in. And then I reached out to our accounting firm. They're more than willing to do our books again. $9,900. And if you'll recall, that's $300 less than our previous accounting firm that was doing them for years. They were charging us $1,200. So I think these guys do a pretty good job. And they're fairly quick. Once I get them the numbers, they usually turn it around within about a month or so. So without objection, I'll go ahead and I still need to review a couple things, but I'm almost done. I told them I'd try to get them the books first week of April. And there's no reason I shouldn't be able to do that. And then the only other item of note is our website is up for renewal, and that's $3,132, and that's due towards the end of April. So that's our next major expense prior to our insurance, which is due in May and June. So, okay? Questions or comments?
Someone's making noise that's coming through the call. It's like shifting something. So just be careful, guys, of any noise that might be around you. It comes on the call.
Well, thank you, Mike. Do we need to, does the board need to approve these expenses? Do we need to have votes on them?
We probably should just to make it legitimate.
Okay. So the first one would be a motion to pay our tax people $900?
$900, please.
This is Roberta. I move that we pay
the... is someone in a car?
Someone in a car?
Can everyone please mute themselves? There we go.
I think somebody just got it. Okay, so I heard Roberta made a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second this, Vinny.
Thank you, Vinny. Okay, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? And any objections? Okay, and then the second item was for the website, and what was the dollar amount on that?
$3,132, and that's $290 a month, less 10% for prepaying for the entire year. So.
Okay, do we have a motion?
This is Roberta.
Yes, Vinny, I'll make a motion.
I second Vinny's motion.
Okay, discussion? No discussion. We'll take a vote. All those in favor? Aye.
Okay,
aye.
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 Those opposed? And those abstaining. Okay, that one passes.
Okay, very good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Much appreciated.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Next one up is the Northern Report. Bruce Brazil, have you been working on anything? Do you have any news for
me? Yeah, a couple little items here. I listened and watched, you know, over the video thingy for the March 1st OHMVR Commission meeting. And one thing I'd like to bring up or point out, they finally have a full commission, no empty seats. The newest member is Kimberlina Wetum. She is an OHV enthusiast, and I was impressed because she hit the ground a-running. She was more active in that meeting than some of the more senior commissioners. So hats off to her, and thank you, Kimberlina. Let's see, Carnegie. Friends of Tesla Parks lawsuit, excuse me, for the expansion area, they lost their argument in court that the OHMBR Commission did not have the authority to approve the EIR and general plan. And that was a big part of their lawsuit, I believe. So we won that one. On the Connolly Ranch easement lawsuit, which we just heard about recently, and I've been trying to follow the court stuff on that because I can get to the information that's being submitted to the courts. Anyways, it's set up for a trial date to start on May 6th. I believe it's in Stockton at the county court. There's something that I hadn't seen in recent times, and that's that the state attorney general's office wants to charge the Connolly Ranch because they submitted a motion to quash a deposition subpoena because it was basically the state says that they do not have the authority to submit the subpoena or the motion to quash. And so the state wants to charge them $15,275. So happy, happy. And yeah.
Couldn't happen to better people.
Yeah. Let them know what it feels like.
Love it.
And anyway, there's still lots of documents coming and going back and forth between the state and the Connolly Ranch, but I have to say once again that looks like our state taxes are doing a good job for us on this one with the Attorney General's office. They got their stuff together.
Fantastic.
And yeah. Anyways, that's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. Diana, did you have anything real quick?
I do not. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Lori?
No report.
Okay. Thank you. Let's move on to the Southerner Report. Vinny, Jim spent the weekend at a couple of events, it looks like.
Yeah. This last weekend, there were two events that Corva was invited to. The one that I went to was an event called Eco Crawl. It was the second time that they did it. The first time they had it, it was over the when we had our truck haven. So I didn't even know what to expect when I went there. They had it at an equestrian center. It was set up pretty nice, really, but, you know, it was for Jeeps, pretty much. It was like a family thing, and they had a bunch of obstacles that you had to – pay money and you could drive your Jeep up and around over these things. And it's not my cup of tea, but anyways, we had a booth there. There were other vendors there as well. Cal 4-Wheel was there. We didn't really get a lot of traffic. I mean, we did really terrible, I think, in my opinion. We did, however, sell one membership and one license plate frame and a few stickers. So I got to get that money to Mike, but we only had total donations with stickers and sales $33 there and $145 membership. So it wasn't that fruitful for us. And that was just Saturday, and they had it on Sunday also. I decided not to waste my time going on Sunday because I was there for almost 12 hours. It wasn't really worth it. I understand that this guy this is like a test. Excuse me, this is like a test that he's trying to see if there's enough people interested in doing something like that. Because I was talking to Steve Gardner, and apparently he's got access to like over 100 acres, maybe in Riverside County, that's undevelopable land, is what I heard. So I don't know if that has to do with an off-road park that I think I remember someone saying something about in Riverside County, the potential for one. But anyways, this guy wants to open up a park and have that kind of thing at this park. But it was kind of cool for the kids. You know, they had a little spot, a little area where they could drive their little RC cars on. It was set up really nice. They put a lot of effort into this thing, but, you know, it was all man-made stuff going up over, you know, planted pallets and cement blocks and stuff. It wasn't really, in my opinion, realistic as far as 4x4. But like I said in my thing, it kind of reminded me of that motocross event that they I forget what they call it.
Enduro cross,
like an enduro cross, where it's just a bunch of man-made things that they go over. So people seem to be having fun, but as far as bringing in money for them, it wasn't worth going, in my opinion. So the event that I didn't go to, which may have been a better one, I think Ed Stoven went to, is called Off-Road Nights, and it's an event down in Del Mar Fairgrounds. So Ed's on the call. When maybe he can say what how it went for him. But I did, however, I give him some more rides to hand out, and you know, we'll see. So, and I did get a hold of Charlie. Charlie said he's going to go to the IE4W meeting in April. I'm going to try to go with him. There's another Orange County Dualies meeting that I usually go to on that same time. So we'll see what happens. I kind of wanted to go to that meeting also because they're having their event in April, the Ride for Kids event, and I kind of wanted to represent Corva morning there and kind of run that through them. But we'll see how that goes. So other than that, that's about all I got.
Vinny, this is Ed Waldheim.
Yeah.
Can you put that guy in contact with Paul Slavik? Paul Slavik is working on Riverside County. He's a commissioner. He's working on Riverside County. And so this guy is working on something in Riverside County. He and Paul Slavik, they need to talk. You want his phone number?
Yeah, you can give it to me. You can send it to me.
310-717-9674. That's Paul Slavik. He's a commissioner. And have him talk to Paul Slavik because he's the one who's working with a county in Riverside also.
Okay. I would imagine this guy's already, you know, been in touch with the people. But I just heard this secondhand information from – and I never even really talked to that guy. He never came by the booth. I don't even know what he looks like. I may have talked to him on the phone when I was setting this up, but I'll send him an email and let him know about Paul Slavik. So,
hey, thank you.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to ask Ken. Ken, when you went up to that Stampede, that was an ultra four thing. Was that correct? Now, did you have a booth there with Corver, or did you?
No, I didn't. I just basically went up there as a spectator, wore my bright orange Corva jacket, and walked around and talked to people.
Okay, because now I know they have an event in down here at Glen Helen at some point during the season that they do that. And
yeah,
maybe,
that's a big
know,
that's a big event.
Maybe I should
you
think
know,
about going up there. And
yeah,
up a
there's
booth.
A couple things. One thing I wanted to mention, the event on Saturday up there at Prairie City SBRA sold out. I left early about 2:30. And
yeah, well,
there was a line of cars a half mile long waiting to get in because they had no more parking.
See, now events like that up north would be, I would think, it would be an ideal situation for Corbin. If we could get in there with a, you know, hand out some Orias and talk to people, you know, maybe that would be.
Yeah,
a,
I think
know,
I'm going to, we need to get a hold of, I don't know who in the Ultra 4 Association we would talk to, but when we were at the Hall of Fame dinner, Dave did tell us that anything we needed. So,
well, Dave would be the one. I mean, he's, you know, I would think Dave would be the one to give us the information to, you know, or you know, permission to do that. So maybe we should think about that. Although,
yeah, because
anyway,
we also up here. We also he also does the a race up in Reno for Sparks, which is huge. So yeah, maybe we should let's do that. We'll get a hold of Dave. Ed, Sylvan, how you doing?
Hi. Hey, I'm doing okay. One thing on the Bills, there's a bill that I just love that I
209 area code. That's good. The guy might actually. There's a lot of them over in the Central Valley.
I hear somebody else talking. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It sounds like something. It's AB 1101. This will direct the Department of Motor Vehicles to allow no longer than a 30-minute wait.
Yeah, it's 5 p.m., so you got to be there.
I love that bill, and we should get behind
oh,
it.
Oh, that's
I
awesome.
Mean, how many people? How many people have waited at the DMV for? Anyway, I think that's a great deal. And you know what?
There's
a lot of people will appreciate that we're supporting this bill, and you know, by association like us, because almost everyone's had frustration with the DMV. So
well, that's why there's about a half a dozen bills going after various aspects of the DMV. And some of them are just spot bills. They're all on that watch list. But yeah, that's an easy one to just say, yeah, we support it. There's another one that we have marked, by the way, as a kind of keep an eye on it, and that's where they're trying to find a way to make the DMV process easier. And as you know, the auto clubs for years have been able to do registrations and renewals and things like that, some routine stuff. This particular bill will allow them to do a lot more partnerships with nonprofits to do things. So there may be a way that Corvette could wind up doing, for instance, green sticker renewals and get commissioned for it. It's worth watching. I don't know that we'd want to get into that, but I do have it on the watch list that we gave to Kathy.
We're still waiting for some of the rules that I know.
Okay, so I like this 1101, this AB 1101 quite a bit. There's also another one, AB 867, that would allow you to pay your registration with a credit card. Right now you can only pay with cash or a check. So it's unbelievable you need to have legislation to allow this, but the bill is there, so I like that too. I went to Off-Road Nights day before yesterday. It was from noon till 8 p.m. They had about 100 vendors, and they had racing in the arena. And I didn't watch the racing because I was at my booth. The vendors were so-so, you know, various off-road vendors. One of interest to me was San Diego County Sheriff's off-road enforcement team. And the guy there, I introduced myself, and he knew me because I had commented on his grants before. So we talked about grants a little bit. and I will be commenting on his grant shortly. We have an extra month this year for grant comments. It used to go from early March to early April, and now it's going, I believe, to May 6th. So if you guys are getting into grant comments, I would love for all of you to find the grant for the area that you know and go to, and look at that grant and just read through it and see if it seems appropriate. Sometimes you find some pretty crazy stuff in there, and it's nice to let them know that you found it and let the grant administrators know that you find it to be kooky. Also, if you see grants that you really like, just go in there and say, yeah, this is a great grant. We should support it. I think that's all I have for you.
Yeah, this is Bruce on the grant comments. What they really want are substantive comments where you notice something that really should be a correction to the grant or a clarification. So it takes a pretty intimate knowledge of that particular program. Just saying, great grant, good grant, I support it. That it's nice. It can't do any harm, but it doesn't affect any kind of a change in the application. And a lot of the grant applicants will request people from their area to make comments if they need a correction, because corrections can only be made based on division comments or public comments. So sometimes people use that as a means for getting a change order put in, which they need. So, I mean, I don't want to discourage anybody from going on and looking at the grants and finding what they like. But just understand, it's like any kind of public comment process. The more specific it can be, the more helpful it is. So I've got one in myself.
By the way, thanks for bringing that up. Neil Hamada, our former Off-Roader of the Year, gave me a call last week and asked me to comment on their ground operations grant. It, you guys all know that S-47 passed the federal government. Well, what that did is it created some OHV routes in Imperial County out by the Colorado River. And Neil said he wanted to increase the amount of money they're asking for so they can put more signs on those new routes. So I went in and gave sort of a general comment. He sort of coached me on it. I got a comment in so they could adjust their grant. Like Bruce said, once a grant is in, it's kind of locked. Unless somebody from the public makes a comment, then they can make an adjustment. So that's all, Ken.
Great. Good stuff. Thank you, Ed, for all you do. Jim or Charlie, you guys got anything you want to mention?
Jim says no.
Okay.
I'm good for now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm good for now.
Okay.
Charlie.
All right, let's move on to ongoing business, our annual meeting. Review the agenda and itinerary. Roberta.
Hi there. I sent out the itinerary, and I sent out Amy's agenda, and a minor correction to what Ken said at the beginning in his report. The lunch will be from Gloria's Mexican restaurant. The total cost is $14 per person. That includes the tip and everything. I will have a form that you will fill in the morning, and I will call it in, and they will make the order. Everyone will get a choice of basically a combo plate number one, you know, with a choice of one thing. It includes soup, salad, so on. We'll also have an ice chest there with water and some sodas. If you have a request, let me know. And I'm going to see if they don't have a coffee pot, because I don't think they do. We do, and I'll set up some coffee. And then if you have some diet restrictions on beverages, bring your own food. If that anything on that itinerary is not to your liking, bring your own food. Dinner is optional, of course, and lunch is optional. Actually, we'll probably take at least an hour break, but It's nice to be able to just sit there and chat with each other and talk things over. We've done this before. It makes for a nice day. But you're not obligated. There is a McDonald's nearby and some other places nearby. I highly recommend that you hang out there, having been to Cal City for years. At night, the DiMaggio's Old Thai Pizzeria is the old California pizza kitchen. You will order at a counter, get your order, pay for it, and then we'll go back into the private room towards the back. Ed Waldheim recommended this place. She said the Garden Club and the Rotary and I guess all of the local clubs and organizations use this place, and the food is good. I do need to know who's coming. I've already gotten a few RSVPs, only because I'm kind of trying to gauge how much beverages and how much to prepare the staff at DiMaggio's and so on. If you show up and you didn't RSVP, that's fine. I know Amy needs you to RSVP so she knows if we're having a quorum. That's very important. If we don't have a quorum, we might as well not have the meeting. And also your Corva Awards. Amy has asked for people to please submit award nominations for the Corva Awards. And finally, one last thing. Technically, we are supposed to have another board meeting on April 22nd. It's the Monday before the annual meeting on the 27th. I would like a motion. If I can move, I will so move that we cancel the April 22nd meeting and move it so that we have the annual and regular meeting at the same time on April 27th.
I'll make that motion.
I need a second.
I'll second the motion. This is Amy.
Okay, do we have any discussion on that? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? And anybody abstaining? Okay, so passed. Roberta, thank you so much for all your hard work.
You're welcome.
Before we leave this, Amy, just so that everybody remembers, can you send us all an email with the list of the awards that are up so that it can jog our memory as we think about who we might want to nominate?
Yeah, I've got I'll send it to the board. We have the old list and the Roberta sent it out along with the
I did. I sent everything out. There's three PDFs that you have if you look at your email. I can send it out again for you, however.
Yeah, I missed that one, so if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to see it.
No problem at all. I'll send them out again tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I just found it myself.
While we're talking about changing meeting dates, I noted on the agenda that our meeting in May would normally be May 27th, which is Memorial Day. And proposed the meeting date instead of May 20th. While we're changing meeting dates, can we take a vote on this one too? And that way we don't have to do it at the annual meeting.
I move that we change the May meeting to May 20th.
Second?
I second.
Any discussion? With no discussion, we'll move on to the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? And anybody abstaining? Motion passes.
Cool. I have a question. This is Terry Work, going back to the annual meeting.
Yes.
When is this notification going to be put out to the general membership about the awards and who's running for what?
I am sending a notice to Daniel Retinera about the website for the itinerary tomorrow. I wanted to make sure it was there was nobody wanting to change anything tonight. As far as the agenda, that is Amy's thing, and as far as award nominations, I don't know. who's running for offices. I have not been told other than Ken Clark said he was running for president again. And that's all I have for you, Terry, as far as I'm my stuff.
So we'll send out an alert to our members. Actually, I think I already sent it to Daniel and all the social media crew, as I call them. Roberta, let me double check in my files and make sure.
We got to notify them by the with give them 30 days notice, correct?
Yeah. And like Ed alluded to, we're working to make the cleanup club run, and so that means we can't do both.
Terry, this is why we made the voting in the afternoon, so that because Ms. Anderson did
so that
this
we
morning.
Would make an hour drive if we can make it. It's not on a time frame. How can we guarantee to the membership that are there that they make it in time to vote?
Well, it's after lunch, and lunch will be around noon and will be an hour, so it starts after 1. But we can coordinate with Ed and see when lunch is, and when lunch is finished at Jawbone, have someone notify us, and we could do it afterwards.
We're really want to have, you know, members out there, but there was quite nobody wanted to interfere with the Jawbone Station stuff, so I'm sorry that it's going to interfere with your club run, but we will be available and we will hold the voting until after the lunch.
It's Ed Waldheim.
Is to support Jawbone. That's our run. We're supporting that.
Right.
I honestly can't understand why you could have moved one weekend either way for your end. So there wouldn't be a membership conflict. But that's my view. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Ted.
This is Ed Waldheim. I can finish up with what I do by 3:00. I should be able to wrap it up. And that's with all our awards and giveaways. So we eat, I think about 12:30 is when we start doing the food. So 12:30, 1:30, so by 2:00, I should have everybody out of there. And we can tell them to go to the Corva board meeting if you want to.
I'd really appreciate that.
I need to get a flyer to pass it out. We should have a flyer at the visitor center. On what you're doing on for the board meeting for Corva anyway.
Yes, we should.
This is Roberta. This is Roberta. I just want to mention that I did this under duress. I did not want to handle this meeting. No one in the last 8 months has come forward, whether it's Terry, Ed, or anybody else, and made a definitive plan or done any arrangements. When Ken Clark called a meeting last Monday, there were a few of us on the phone. We all discussed it. We decided that the certain things that interfered with this, that, and the other, and how we were going to get things here and there. And they said, let's do this, and they said, somebody call. So somebody happened to be me. Now, if anybody else at this point, Terry, Ed, or anybody else, would like to change the meeting to May, I don't care when you change it. I don't care what you do. But I think at this point, you better decide if you're going to have some question about whether or not we should have this or how it's being handled, then you should become the chairperson of the event. And that's all I have to say.
Roberta, this is Ed Waldheim. In all fairness, you did not let anybody know about the meeting you guys were having.
Ken Clark read it out.
Not
at least I never got a message.
And Roberta, I can understand your feelings about that. And I didn't volunteer for anything because I'm planning to be out of the state in the next few months. I don't have definite time, but California and I are cutting ties. I'm retiring. So that's why I'm not putting my hand in anything. If I'm gone, I won't be able to.
I retired 6 years ago. I'm telling you that if it's anybody you need to challenge, it's Ken Clark. I'm just the worker.
But I'm not going to be in California. That's my point.
It's going to be in California. All right. We'll try to.
If I can interject, you know, it's really difficult. Like, Roberta did a lot of work to put this on and to get all the details, and she did an incredible job. This April and May, there were a lot of conflicts with other events. There's conflict with the Overland Expo. There was a conflict with when people can come. And there wasn't really a great weekend. It has happened, but I've gone to, since 2005, I remember the meeting of 2005, 2006 in California City at Ed's place, and a bunch of us from Northern California couldn't make it, and then there was, I think, the next year, the year after, a meeting. I know I couldn't make it at one of the Southern Jamboree, and it was really windy, and then we had the meetings in Bakersfield. They've moved all around, all over the place. The thing is, we've done the best job we can at trying to get somewhat of a central location so we can get as many board members there as possible. And so first I want to thank Roberta, because I think that it's amazing. And all the details are great. Whoever makes it, makes it. It is really important for our members to come. We really want our members to come. And it was great last year that so many members did. So maybe after this year, we can have it back at Jawbone. But this year, I have to say that Bob Hamm being able to come is a real plus for us. We need to discuss some legal issues and if we're going to get involved in legal issues, and we need Bob's expertise. So, for one, I'm really glad that he's going to be there because we need to decide as an organization where to go. But we can get that alert out tomorrow, Roberta, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
And for myself, to remedy this, for next year's meeting, even though I may not be president at that time, or wait a minute. Yeah, I may not be president. I'm going to suggest that we start planning like May for the next annual meeting. Maybe that way we can get things coordinated a little better with more time. We need to really start planning and getting volunteers a lot earlier. As far as conflicts, anything you try to do on an OHV calendar nowadays, every week, every day has two or three events going. But anyway, it was me. I'll take the blame for it. You can be upset with me. It's going to happen. All right, 50th anniversary party, birthday, 2020. We need a subcommittee. It's time to start planning. I need volunteers. We need to create a budget. We need to figure out where we're going to do this. Does anybody have anything, ideas or thoughts on our 50th?
Can this Ed Waldheim? I'd like to find out what the state of California is doing on their anniversary, because, you know, Paul Slavik and Bob Hamm and myself, we spent an entire day at my office and recollecting and getting information about our entire program. And coincidentally, CORVA and the OHV program are pretty much running parallel over the 50 years. It would be kind of cool to find out which way what are they going to do, and see maybe there's some place for us to join with them, or at least be in concert or be in agreement with what they're going to plan on doing. But I have no idea where they are at this point.
You know, Ed, I think we talked about this last meeting, and yes, that's an excellent idea. We really need to get a hold of them. And I made a note.
Wait a minute. That's the 50th anniversary of the OHV program that they're having next year, I understand. It should be, anyhow. This is 50 years of CORVA. This is Corva. Are we just going to let that go by and become part of a state with a different anniversary in a different year?
I'm not saying that at all, Bob. What I'm saying is I'd like to find out what the heck they're up to.
Well, yeah, we should know what they're up to, but let's discuss the 50th anniversary for Corva if we're going to do one.
So what's the date?
We don't have a date yet. So we said we were going to do this in 2020. So we need to come up with a date. We need a location, a budget. We need to figure out how we're going to do this. And then everybody's got to get raffle prizes.
Will that be in this Waldheim again? Will that be in lieu of a annual meeting, or that will be the annual meeting?
You know, we haven't discussed that yet.
Okay.
It'd be nice to have an annual meeting. The offer has come up, and we've talked a little bit about having it at the hotel in Gene at the Off-Road Hall of Fame, which is only 10 miles across the border. But, you know, we need to have some discussions on this, get a committee together. I'll have Roberta. Can we set up a phone call maybe once a month or once a month that people can call in and we can discuss it?
Sounds like a good idea.
Okay. I'll work with Roberta and we'll set something up.
I did want to put something out there. Just I happened to be talking to our lobbyist assistant, Ann, and mentioned that it was our anniversary next year and how we'd like to have legislators or people, you know, certainly from parks, be able to come and speak. And she sort of just put it out there. She said, why don't you do something like have two meetings, one in conjunction with a lobby day where we can actually have a dinner and have legislators come over and talk or people from parks come over and talk, which would be some of our members come to lobby day anyway, which would be great, and we could do a bigger splash for it, but then also have an off-road celebration, you know, somewhere else, and that way we can get two different kind of types of events, because we really would like to have, it's a really huge thing, 50 years. When I tell people, they're shocked, and so having some legislators who support OHV or state officials that support OHV would be really great. And that way, if we have that part in Sacramento, but then also do something either in Oceano Dunes, we talked about where Corva started, or the charter was signed, or bylaws adopted, or at the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame, that could be more in the line of a party. So,
okay.
Anyone have any thoughts?
Let's schedule that call and discuss it at another meeting. This is kind of dragging, and
okay.
We need to have a committee and get it worked out.
You got it. We'll put out Roberta to put out a letter, a schedule for us. Okay, that brings us to the Family Fun Run event, Point Magoo Club. Is that you, Terry?
Yes, and again, Roberta, I understand where you're coming from, but like I said, I'm moving out of California, and I just don't know the dates, so I couldn't commit to anything. Jerry couldn't make it tonight. The main reason is his wife and him are having a baby, so they're staying close to home.
Oh,
awesome.
Because they got to leave any time now. It could be happening. We were hoping for Friday. That's what we had in the pool, but Krista didn't come through for us, so... But the latest update, I've been talking to Don Kelly. She's our contact there, and she's very excited about what's going on and what the plans we've discussed with her. We're up there just this weekend, a club run to pre-run part of the area because we were checking into running a different course, and we got about a third of it done the way we're thinking. And what we're thinking is it's going to be a good course, a little bit longer, and we're going to also try to put in spots, separate trail runs for the motorcycles and quads and like that, so that they can still link up to the main course, so we're not having them run around and be all separate. They'll just do on parallel trails in the park. We've gotten some very positive feedback from sponsors. We only turned down one so far because all they wanted to give us was catalogs. So we politely said, if we really wanted to give our product, we'd be happy to include your catalog. But for this event, we're not going to be handing out just catalogs. So we're hoping to get something back from it. It's actually a seat manufacturer. Everything else, like I said, is going well. Jared and I have both been talking to something. We're going to give it a new try. I know it's been done before, but we're talking to a veteran disabled organization about having a ride-along for the event, to have some of the disabled veterans come with us, and we'll ride them around the park, and they can do the poker run, and they can have some fun off-roading. So we have gotten the permit in the email. Don said, you know, I'm just letting you have it so you can look it over because it's not due for a while and like that. So we're moving along, and we have planned a few more pre-runs to iron out the final parts of our course, and then we'll be turning in our map for it. So any questions?
What's the cost recovery?
Excuse me?
Will there be any? Is there any cost recovery you have to pay?
You mean for the permit process?
Yeah.
He has not given us the fees yet for that. I know it's based on a projected number. So, another question that if Vinny can supply us the number we had, I guess, 2 years ago, so we can give her a good estimate. And then we'll go from there. Of course, insurance.
I think the last one we had at Hungry Valley was somewhere around 500, give or take. It could have been four something.
I think that's a going thing. She did make mention of probably be about the same.
Yeah, so
yeah,
that's what it was about.
But I'm just still reeling about that meeting last week. Say pretty, ask them pretty please and see if they'll, waive the cost recovery.
Yeah, they're not waiving the cost recovery.
Yeah, I know. Wishful thinking.
This is Jim.
Okay.
This is Jim. It's always about $400 or $500. That's really reasonable.
Yeah.
Analyze what we pay for Truck Haven. They're real good up there, but they're going to want their $400 or $500. That's reasonable. That's
okay.
That's
fine. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, and we've done the Fright Night, and just for setting up, we were paying the park $800 and a little over $1,000 to the forestry to run the event. So yeah, it's a good deal if it's only around $500.
Wow. Yeah, that is a hell of a deal. Okay, well, it sounds like it's moving along, and everything's falling into place.
Terry, this is Amy. Tell them to contact me for the insurance, okay? When you need it.
Okay.
All right, any questions? Okay, moving on to new business. Does anybody have any new business?
Ed Waldheim here. Tomorrow, Tuesday, March 26th at 5 p.m. at the University of Antelope Valley in Lancaster, the first hearing of Red Rock State Park's general plan. This is your time to put up or shut up. This is a time where we have to really go and show up and make our feeling known about Red Rock State Park. And the next one will be the following day in Ridgecrest at the Historical Society. That's on the 27th. So tomorrow at 5 o'clock in Lancaster and on Wednesday at 5 o'clock in Ridgecrest. So we have two opportunities. So please get the message out there. If you want to save Red Rock State Park, we need to get there in numbers. And so I'm going to go to both of them. Terry Work's going to go to one of them, I think, in Lancaster. So I hope to God we have a whole bunch of people showing up at these meetings. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Ed. Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, on the Red Rock General Plan, it's interesting because I've been following that, and I don't see anything out yet. Usually they'll post the plan before the public meeting, so I'm kind of wondering what's up with that. But obviously,
they said on purpose they haven't posted anything because they want to make this an active interaction program. They have not posted anything on purpose. So what we will see is tomorrow will be the unveiling and on Wednesday be the unveiling. So that's why it's so bloody important when we show up, because everybody will get to see it the first time and the first time only. It's not posted anywhere. So that's a different way of doing it. But they want interactive involvement in this plan. That's what they're trying to do.
Well, I can't think of anybody better to be there than you.
I appreciate it, but, you know, guns need bullets. So we need to make sure we got the bullets there, man.
I wish I could be there. Unfortunately, I have to be at work. But thank you for standing in for the rest of us. And I hope others will find the time to get there.
Darn, I wish we had known about this. Is there any way we can put a quick post on Facebook and Instagram? I don't think
you probably
I'll get it out to the. I'll get it out to the social media crew. I'll look online. There's a notification, so I'll get.
Yeah,
it
these things they're put out there. So, I must say I've known this was coming up. Unfortunately, my calendar just doesn't allow me to get there because it's a four-hour drive each way, but it has been out there. And so I'm sure anybody who's following that, much like we're following the Oceano Dunes, will know about this, or Carnegie for that matter.
Right, right. not in my backyard. I haven't been following it, other than what the hardworking people at Corva has been keeping me informed on. All right. Anybody else have anything else? Anything they want to speak up about?
It's good to go.
I'll take that as a no. With that, it's been a great meeting. Can we get a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Get a second on that.
I second it. This is Lori.
Thank you, Lori. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed and all those abstained, the most meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for attending, and we'll see you all next time.
Night, all.
All right,
night.
Thanks.
Bye.
Good night.